The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuked him and said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
I was just trying to think when this feast became known as Christ the King of the Universe. Because when I started preaching, when I was ordained 38 years ago, it was Christ the King. It wasn't Christ the King of the Universe. And you know, and growing up in the 60s, and then they said, you know, we sent a man to the moon. You know, a lot of us don't believe that. No, no, I do believe it. But, you know, our universe and understanding of the universe has changed dramatically. My cosmology is not the same cosmology I had when I was a child, nor is my faith. My faith has to grow as well. And science and theology have come together. And the more I study science, which I don't really comprehend, I had to teach it when I was fifth graders, but I'm probably at a fourth grade level, my own scientific understanding, but in taking quantum theology, trying to understand the universe, or universes, or whatever. My faith is not the same. We have to think differently, and therefore I maybe believe differently. And I believe much differently than when I was a child. I hope you do too, and you grow in your faith and understanding. Many of you probably don't do any reading in theology, never taken a soteriology course, I can see. But, you know, you science, some of you know more science than I do, I'm sure. I and others have come to see that there are basically two ways of understanding the doctrine of salvation. So if you would please give me your attention now for the next half hour. It's going to be long, but it's not that long. Most Christians, and you probably, understanding is based on what I'm going to call Plan B. There's Plan A and Plan B. And most Christians, their understanding is Plan B. Now, that Plan B is what most of us implicitly or explicitly grew up with. And the notion that everything started with a big mistake. Right? Which is a terrible, terrible way to start history. With a big mistake. But that's what we were taught. Adam and Eve ate the apple, right? No, they didn't. It was a fruit. We say apple. And then everything got, you know, then God got really upset and mad. Kicked them out of the garden. You know? And so God had to send his son into the world to redeem the whole thing and to turn it around. In effect, according to Plan B perspective, which many of you probably have, Jesus was the mop-up exercise to correct Adam and Eve's terrible fault. We know it as Christians as original sin. Jesus and the Jews don't believe in original sin. Jews don't believe in that. They didn't see the scriptures of that. They didn't see Genesis as being that. But we Christians do. Anyway, Scripture shows especially today, a much broader view. Though for some reason, it has been mostly gone unnoticed. But we're noticing it more and more today, thanks to science, I believe. And that is, you know, in the book of Revelation, which is not my favorite book, but I'm glad it made its way into the canon, into the scriptures. According to the book of Revelation, Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. Have you heard that before? The beginning and the end. The Alpha and the Omega. So Alpha being the first letter of the Greek alphabet and Omega being the last one. Okay, so we see that there has to be a correspondence between how the universe began and where is it going. Right? There has to be a correspondence between them. Now, there has to be a trajectory created. There has to be a meaningful direction to it. And the end goal has to be made clear. What is the end goal? Well, Plan A, I offer you, says that the direction and the meaning were set from the very beginning, from Alpha. The story of creation didn't start with a problem. It started with God's clear blueprint, which was called the Logos. The Logos, which was the first idea in the mind of God, as it were. And I don't know if God has ideas, but that's how scripture writers seem to see it. Now, Christ was Plan A, and God's incarnation didn't depend upon a mistake, but was purely revelatory gift from the very, very beginning, from Alpha. Did you notice that the official name of this feast is Christ, the King of the Universe? The feast points to a universal understanding of what's going on. What does this thing called history mean? Where does it come from and where is it going? Now, there was a fight, and I've mentioned this before in my homilies, between the Dominicans and the Franciscans back in the 13th century. And the Franciscans, Bonaventure and then Don Scotus later, they argued that would Christ have come had there been no sin? Would Christ come? Would there be a need for Christ? And I'm sorry to say the Dominicans were on the wrong side of that argument, which I believed in at one time, but now I've gone to the other camp. The Franciscans believed that, yes, God would have come, regardless, because it would have been done out of love, out of a positive thing, not out of a negative thing, not because something bad happened, but that all the time God had in mind that Christ would come, that Jesus would be here, and that you would be here, and I would be here. But anyways, the Franciscans proposed that. They said that the first idea, the Alpha of history, is that God, in the beginning, wanted to materialize. You see, God, who is spirit, who is shapeless and formless, right, wanted to materialize and wanted to take on form. That's Plan A. This material universe, what you see and what we can see in telescopes, is revealing the invisible God. So if you want to know what God is like, study creation. Look at creation. And you can see what God is like, and you can understand what God is like. And St. Thomas Aquinas said, if you get creation wrong, then you get God wrong. So if you think that there's a three-tiered universe, that there's a heaven up there, and then there's the earth, and then there's under the earth, that cosmology is long, long past. We've gone well past that. But anyhow, that's what it means for Christ to be King of the Universe. Christ is the first revelation of what's going on. Christ is the pattern of how things work. You could say that Christ is the inner DNA of everything. Of everything. Now, Christ and Jesus aren't the same. Christ is not the same as Jesus. Most people get them confused. Most people think that's the case. But Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's not Jesus Christ, Mary Christ, Joseph Christ. Christ is more than Jesus, although includes Jesus. Now, don't be shocked and don't be scandalized and don't think that I've lost my faith. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. Jesus, how long did Jesus exist for? 33 years or so, right? They took form on this earth. But the Christ is eternal. Christ, the Christ is the King of the universe, the pattern of all things, so that Christ has existed, according to present understanding, although I read in the paper a month ago, so there's an argument going on of how long the universe has been. But so let's just say Christ has been around for 14.6 billion years, the alpha point. Whether it's 14.6 or not, let's disagree that it's been a long time. Now, our telescopes reveal that the universe is still expanding. As we sit here and as I talk, it's still expanding. And after 14.6 billion years, or after this long time, it's still unfolding. The Christ is still unfolding. And you can read that, and Paul said that back in the letter to the Romans, in the 8th chapter of Romans, you can read about it. And perhaps the second coming of Christ is when, I don't know, when scientists predict that, some scientists predict, that it will happen, that the whole thing is going to stop expanding at some point. And in a quick moment, in a flash, everything will implode and it will return to its source, which is God. Science is saying a lot these days that sounds an awful like good theology. I don't know if this is how it's going to happen. We don't need to know. We don't need to worry about it. It's not our problem. I'm sure you got plenty of other things to worry about without worrying about that. But what we do know is that the Alpha and the Omega are the same thing. Right? It's what God revealed as Plan A, that the Christ to reveal who God is in the universe, in creation, in every creature, in everything that exists on this planet and other planets, is a revelation of the mystery of God from the very beginning of time. And so I hope you recognize what that means. It means that you and I are inside something that is very, very sacred and very beautiful and holy. And you and I don't make it holy. It is holy. We're only recognizing it is holy. When we press make water holy, we're already recognizing that it is holy. You and I are the in-between of the Alpha and the Omega. You and I are becoming, in time, the eternal Christ. So there's Jana Christ, and there's Mark Christ, and there's Richard Christ. And so we're the in-between. In other words, Christ is indeed the pattern of the universe. Life has meaning, and life has direction, and life has a purpose. Although it's sad that many people don't understand that and know that. So Jesus doesn't come to proclaim any kind of domination or warrior status or control of history. He simply says to us, I am naming the deepest meaning of history, and I'm naming the deepest meaning of humanity, of who you are. And that's why, in a moment of time, in one moment of time, the eternal Christ mystery came to us as a person, to you and I. We call him Jesus. Creation itself is the timeless incarnation, which we call Christ. And Jesus is the personal incarnation, born in a moment of time when we could begin to understand and love a person. My brothers and sisters, Christianity is the only religion that dares to believe that. No other religion believes that. So do you realize what a daring belief system that we Catholics and Christians have? Can you really believe that one ordinary looking man, born in a little dusty town in Palestine over 2,000 years ago, is the eternal blueprint of what God has been doing since the beginning of time in Christ. And that's what we believe. And when we say we believe in both Jesus and the Christ. And that's a big act of faith. And so I leave you with a question. You ready? Are you just here because others have told you that you should be Catholic or you should be a Christian? Or do you really believe that the Christ reveals what is happening all the time and everywhere, even in you, even now? I hope you say yes. Plan A.